Hello, good morning, XSCF. So today I'm going to be sharing from the Bible with you. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Sergio. Today when I was walking from the metro station to the church, I met these two lovely sisters. They are participating here, but they did not know me. So maybe some of you do not know me. I'm a member here, and I've been worshiping here since 2019. But recently, my wife and my son, we moved to a little bit far away from here. So that's why you don't see us here very often. But I'm glad to be here today to share the word with you and to fellowship with you. And I entitled today's message, The Influence of Circumstances on Our Decisions and Choices. Because some time ago I talked about decisions and choices. And Pastor Perry asked me to talk again about this topic. So I wanted to make it different a little bit. So I prayed over today's message, and God laid on my heart to talk about this. But as we get ready to start, I would like us to read this passage, and we're going to make it a prayer as we prepare our hearts to receive the word. I'm not so sure if it's the letter is big enough. Can you see it? If you cannot, please open your Bible in ESV version if you have an electronic Bible. And I wanted us to take this reading together. Psalm chapter number 19. And we'll start from verse number 7, going through verse 11. And please, can we read the passage together? 1, 2, now. Amen. Thank you, Lord, today as we prepare our hearts to receive your word. May you talk to our hearts today. May you talk to our spirits through your word. And as I stand here to share, Lord God, let the word of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay, so I said that I want to talk about the influence of circumstances on our decisions and choices. Because many times, you know, every day we make choices. And every time we make choices. For us to be here this morning, we made a choice. Right? We could have chosen to do something else this morning. But God has given us grace to choose to be here in his house and fellowship together. So you'd see that everything we do in our lives involves some type of choices, of choice. Of course, some choices are trivial. For example, if what you are going to have for breakfast, for example. But some other choices are important. And one of them, maybe one of the biggest decisions a man or a woman can make, is to choose the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because that can influence their or determine where they will spend eternity. No matter big or small, every day we need to make decisions. But the decisions we make, most of the times, they are influenced by some kind of, some external factors. And as I was reading recently, I came up across this. It appears that the influence of circumstances on our choices and decisions is, it is studied from this in the subject of psychology. And there are people who are studying that. I do not know anything about psychology anyway. I don't want to make any I don't want to make any claims here based on psychology, but I just stumbled through this in this article that they were investigating how circumstances and choice and influences circumstances influences our choices and decisions. And I gave this particular example. For example, if we were to go to a restaurant to eat, for example, and we come by these two restaurants, and one restaurant is full of people and the other one is empty, we would probably be drawn to go to the one that is full, right? Rather than the one that is empty. And if you see, the decisions we make today as a church also, I mean, as a children of God, we look at where society is going or what is considered normal in society, and we tend to follow those things. Sometimes even though we know that that's not what the Bible teaches us to do, but this, we can easily be, we can drift and following the masses. Now, these are decisions that I'm talking about, the masses. But now there are some forces that influence us personally in the choices we make. I want to use two examples today to talk about some of these forces. And I'm going to be drawing from two kings in the Old Testament and how situations in their lives led them to make some choices. But the basic scripture I want to use, it comes from the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse 11. And Paul is talking here to, he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's speaking about, how he's in the Roman prison by this time, and is giving them news about himself. And in this particular verse, he talks about needs, physical needs. And he says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Now, this scripture, Paul, he said he's speaking about needs. But as I was reading this scripture, it inspired me. Can we arrive to such a place? You see, Paul says, no matter the situation he finds himself, he has learned to be content. Now, can we draw a parallel between this passage and this passage, needs, physical needs, and our spiritual walk with God? Is it possible to draw a parallel between these two? And I believe it is. Can we then, in whatever situation we find ourselves, learn to honor God with our choices? Can we choose to follow God in spite of the situation we find ourselves? And I think that is possible. But of course, as you see here in this passage, and I'm going to highlight later on, it is a learning process. We move from one stage to another. But I believe we can also use this to the choices that we make in our daily life. But it's not always easy. And if we read through the Bible, right from the beginning, people of God, they often seem to make choices that incline to what they see, are inclined to what they hear, rather than making choices that are inclined to following the guidance of God. All the instructions of God. We see, for example, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, after the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, and here they find themselves now in a desert, and they inquire of Moses, they want to see God. They want to say, how come God only speaks to you? We also want God to speak to us. And the Bible tells us, Moses tells them to consecrate themselves to hear the voice of God, so that the Lord can talk to them also. And They consecrate themselves for 3 days. And God comes down in a cloud in Mount Sinai with great power to talk to them. And when that happens, they cannot take the power of God anymore. So they say, okay, Moses, okay, you will bring us the message. You speak to God. It's okay. We will take the message from you. But in chapter 32 in the book of Exodus, then God gives Moses the commandments. But after Moses had left for roughly about a month or so, the Bible tells us that because of this, because Moses had left the people of God there in the desert, they became afraid. They had lost their leader. And what did they choose to do? We know the story probably. They decided that they would make this golden calf that would represent God for them. They were probably so used at the life they were taking in Egypt, where God should have some kind of representation, should be seen in a way. They couldn't fathom this God, that they would relate with him only in their hearts, because he is a spirit. So they wanted to see something. They wanted something tangible. So they persuaded Aaron to make a golden calf. So we see so many places in the Bible where people are moved by what they see. But we see a different attitude in Paul here. He says he is content in whatever situation he finds himself. Can we arrive at this place of peace with God in spite of what happens around us? And in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse 12-13, the Bible tells us that what God requires of us. And he says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord, your God, require of you? But to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. So see, God has made what he wants from his people very clear. And I think this passage summarizes all that the Lord requires from us. Now, can we walk in these words, no matter the situation we find ourselves? And I said I want to use two examples of two people, two kings in the Old Testament, that they failed to walk in the commandments of the Lord because of our situations, the situations that happened in their lives. And the first one, you might know this story. I mentioned it some time ago when I was preaching. And Elder Rob also always mentioned this story in his preaching, in his messages. And here is the story of Uzziah. And it comes from the second book of Chronicles, chapter number 26. The whole chapter, actually, he talks about Uzziah in this chapter. And I'm going to take a portion for it and see how Uzziah was influenced by circumstances. And here he says, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead and in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. So we see here Uzziah was a king that sought to serve the Lord. And we know from the first verse in chapter 26 that he made up his mind that he would follow the Lord by instruction of Zechariah. But when you read throughout the chapter, you see after he became powerful, because he became famous as a warlord, as an inventor, he invented weapons, and he became rich and powerful. And power corrupted his heart, the Bible tells us. And he became proud. And his power took him away from the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, how many times in our lives, when the Lord blesses us with something, that thing takes the place of God in our lives in a way, so to say. Or it bridges a gap between us and the Lord. It changes us. It makes us change the way we make our decisions. It makes us change the way we make our choices. Think about that husband you prayed for. How him now has become a hindrance between your relationship with God. Or the wife you prayed for. Or the children you prayed for. Is it a job you prayed for? And the Lord has blessed you with a job. Now, because of this same job, you cannot do what you used to do. The job has become some kind of idol before you. The job is more important now than God. Or the person, some person in your life, or some position in your life you have attained. Meanwhile, you have asked God to bless you with it. But now that has become, you have changed the way of doing things. You do not make choices to honor God because he has blessed, he has given you this blessing in your life. I pray today that no matter what the Lord gives us, we will learn to make our choices. Choices that honor him. Choices that fall within his plan for us. So pride, what God gives us. Uzziah here was blessed, and the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord made him prosper. So the Lord made him prosper. But when he achieved a certain status in his life, we see here, he wanted now to take the office of a priest. He chose to take the office of a priest. But God had made it plain and clear that this was the office of the priests, the sons of Aaron, not the office of the king. But I'm king anyway. Why shouldn't I do it? I can do it. I'm king, right? And that did not bring honor to him. And the Bible tells us this was the beginning of his destruction. And we know he lost the kingdom because he became sick of leprosy. Pride, what God gives us, can make us drift away, can make us choose to make the wrong decisions, make the wrong choices. I pray that God will help us not to fall in this trap. The second king I want to talk about is Saul. And Saul, he made some mistakes that are a little bit similar to what Uzziah made. But he was motivated by something else. Another situation here, another circumstance, not pride, but he acted out of fear. And we see Saul was a fearful person. He feared people, see, and he made choices, some choices in his life after the Lord had placed him in this position of leadership. He made some decisions moved by fear. And I took some portions here from the first book of Samuel, chapter number 13, and the same book, a couple of chapters later, in chapter 15. Let me read first from chapter 13, verses 11 to 12. Here, Saul, in the first passage, had been king now for 3 years, and he had received an instruction by Samuel that he was to wait for him for 7 days, and Samuel would come and offer sacrifices and give him instruction on what he was supposed to do. But by this time, the Bible tells us that the Philistines had surrounded them. The enemy were there in their numbers, thousands upon thousands. But Saul had only 2,000 people, men, 2,000 with him and 1,000 with his son Jonathan. So a total of 3,000 people. But here they see the armies of the Philistine and they are coming in great multitude. So they start running to hide. The Bible tells us the rest of them, they went to hide in caves and went to some other countries. Now, Saul offers a sacrifice. He does not wait for Samuel to come after the appointed time. He becomes afraid. And as soon as he finishes offering the sacrifice, Samuel arrives. And here he tells us in this passage, Samuel said, talking to Saul, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself, and I offered the burnt offering." You see, it's interesting what it says here. And they say, you did not come within the days appointed. But Saul, he burned the incense, he burned the sacrifice in the seventh day. And the Bible tells us as soon as he finished, Samuel came. So Samuel did not come the eighth day. He came within the time appointed. But Saul was afraid. And he disobeyed God. Same way we see, same story we saw with Uzziah. He was afraid of the people. And this also did not bring him honor from the Lord. Now, a couple of chapters down, Saul commits, he makes another choice that does not honor God. And again, he's moved by fear. And in this part, the Bible tells us, chapter 15, if you read all the chapter, it says, God gave Saul an instruction that he should go and wage war against the Amalekites. Because the Amalekites, the Bible tells us how they opposed the people of God. And if you read from the book of Exodus again, it tells you how the Amalekites made the trip or the journey, the exodus of the Israelite people from Egypt to the Promised Land, how they attacked them along the way, and they opposed God. And God here in this passage, he instructs Saul to go and wage war against them for the cause of their opposition to the people of God and to the will of God. And God gives a clear instruction. Saul is supposed to destroy everything. But Saul does not do that. He disobeys God. He brings Agag alive. And he brought some cattle and some animals he thought they were good. And Samuel again confronts Saul here. And this is what Saul says to Samuel. He says, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice." Fear can paralyze us. Fear can make us take choices that do not honor God. We have to learn, we have to come to a place where our decisions are not dictated by fear. We have to learn to choose to honor God in spite of the fear. We have to choose to honor God in spite of the power that He brings in our life. We don't have to let God's blessing become a hindrance of us following the way of the Lord. I remember this couple. This story I want to share. I'm not sure if anyone here, you know, missed you are pregnant. I want to share a story about pregnancy. But if you're, it's a little bit, do not be scared if you're pregnant. Use this story to encourage you in your pregnancy. I remember this couple, they were praying for God to get pregnant. And after some years of being praying about for this, they became pregnant. And as they were going to the checkups, somewhere along the way, the doctors told them that the baby would be born with a serious condition. And they gave them they said they should think twice about it if they really want this baby, or they should give up on the baby, right? Because it would be very difficult for them. For those of us who are parents, we know how crushing it can be to receive this kind of news. When my son has a flu, my wife and I are so worried about him. He just had fever. But this couple were told that the baby would be born with a very serious condition. Now they have to make a choice. They are afraid. They are worried. They do not know what the future holds for them. They need to make a choice. Will they, from their perspective, they thought this was morally wrong. And also they thought it would not glorify God. They thought, in their perspective, that this was going against the will of the Lord. They would be deciding on the life of someone. And this was not their place to do so. Inasmuch as they wanted the child themselves also, but also these other reasons weighed on their decision. What were they going to do? What were they going to do? Would they honor God? When you find yourself in these kind of situations, what do you do? You know, maybe you have been faced with so difficult choices to make and the situation seemed hopeless. What did you choose to do? Anyway, if you want to know the end of the story of this couple, they went on to have their baby, and the baby is fine today, by God's grace. They chose to keep the baby, and God has been kind to them. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Your heart. Keep your heart. You say you want to make choices that glorify the Lord. I gave two cases, Uzziah and Saul. But remember Joseph. How Joseph chose to honor God with his actions. And we see the book of Genesis, chapter number 39, in that portion of the Bible. Joseph made the conscious decision to honor God and uphold his moral integrity in face of temptation. Choose to honor God and walk in the ways that is shown us in his Bible, that we receive through reading and through the preaching. Choose to honor God. Be like Joseph. Do not be like Saul. Do not be like Uzziah. Be like Joseph. You know the story, how Joseph had these dreams that he would become powerful one day. But now he finds himself as a slave boy in Egypt. But in this situation, in this condition, he never once disobeyed God. He always chose to walk in the path of righteousness of God. Choose to honor God with your choices. Amen. I want to go back to Philippians chapter number 4, verse 11, as I read from at the beginning. Now I want us to break down this verse and learn from it. Paul says, "I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Now we are drawing a parallel from this verse in our choices. We want to learn in whatever situation we find ourselves to make choices that honor the Lord. And the first aspect to highlight in this verse, it says, I have learned. Now, there's a space to grow in your decision-making process. You can grow. I don't know what decisions have been faced with, but you know, and maybe some areas of your life you are struggling with your decisions. Give yourself grace and grow. But refuse to remain in the same place. Do not refuse to make the same mistakes over and over again. Grow. And Paul here, he said it was a learning process. He learned to get there. And I pray this morning that by God's grace, we can all here in this room grow and learn how to get to that place. I was listening to this preaching one day. Today I'm giving examples of babies and pregnancies. So this pastor was preaching and he said, if you have a child and are born today, and after 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, this child is still crawling. You say, you'll be concerned. What's wrong with my child? They don't speak. They don't do it. They're still in their diapers. They're crawling from since they were born. Now they are 3, 4, 5 years. A mother would be concerned. Parents would be concerned. But they say in the church, if someone comes to God today and they are born spiritually, they are born again, and they remain the same after 4, 5, 6 years, nobody finds it abnormal. But it is abnormal. So we have to grow in the Lord. You have to change. Examine your heart. If you haven't changed for the last 4 years, you're still struggling with the same things, pray for God's grace. Examine your heart and see what is missing. Something is missing. You must grow. And here we can see from 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 7. Paul is instructing Timothy. He says, have nothing to do with irreverence and silly myth. Rather, in the second part, I'm focusing on the second portion of this verse. He said, rather, train yourself for godliness. We have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves through prayer, through participating in the Bible studies, through reading of the Bible, and through fellowship with the brothers and sisters. And we have to train ourselves to become robust in our spirits, to be able to make the choice, to be able to make the choices that glorify the Lord, that will not be moved. The Lord Jesus says, the man or the woman that listen to his word and do them, it's like, it can be compared to a man who built their house in a rock. It says storms and rain came, but they were not able to move that house. As we listen to his word and we do them, we have to build this robustness in the Lord, to be strong and firm in our choices, and not to be moved and drift away by circumstances and things that happen in life. The second thing he says, in whatever situation, and this is what I've been emphasizing on throughout this message, in whatever situation. And Paul here, when he says, in whatever situation, I told you he's talking about material things. And he says now, the same chapter, if you go the next verse, Philippians chapter number 4, he says 12 to 13. He says, I know to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Brothers and sisters, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ can strengthen you when you find yourself in a place where you need to take the decision that glorifies him. Ask for grace. Say, God, give me your grace. Give me the strength that I will know how to make the right choices. I don't want to be in this situation anymore. I don't want to remain in this state anymore. Build that strength in my heart. Help me train myself unto godliness and build that strength in my heart so that I will know how to take choice, to make choices and decisions that honor you in my life. The third aspect he says here is to be content. And here he's talking about self-sufficiency. But you know, the self-sufficiency he is talking about is not talking about the sufficiency that comes from himself. Because we know in 13, he says here, Philippians chapter 4, right? Verse 11, 12, 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens him. So here, the self-sufficiency comes through Christ. Make Christ your self-sufficiency. To be content. Contentment is a state of a heart of man. We can be content. We can be in a place where no matter what happens to us, we are not moved, and we can honor God with what we do. And here we can see from the book of Timothy, chapter number six, verse 6 and 7. He says here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And again, he makes it a parallel to the needs here that he's talking about Paul. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Be in this place of contentment. Be in this place of trust in whatever situation you find yourself, and choose consciously to honor God with the choices and the decisions. I want to encourage you as a close with these scriptures. You know, you can only make the decisions and the choices that glorify God. Besides allowing yourself to grow, right? Besides letting God help you in your choices, as you grow to get in that place of robustness spiritually. But for you to make the right choices, the first thing you need to know, it says, you need to know the will of God. Without knowledge, you cannot make those choices. And how do we do that? Once again, is through prayers, through studying of this word, of his word, through fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters. But we want to come to this place of knowledge and want to know what his will is for our lives. And Paul here says a prayer in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, verse 9 and 10. I'm reading just a portion of it. It says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we need to have the knowledge and understanding. And I want to encourage you today, if you have not built a habit of reading the Bible, for me personally, what has been blessing me all these years that I've been in XICF is that I've always been in a small group where we study Bible together and we share. Oh dear, I've learned so much from those programs. So if you're not in any Bible study group, find one. Find one and fellowship with brothers and sisters and study the Bible together. If the area where you're at, there's no Bible study group, find a prayer group. Find a prayer group and grow in the fellowship. So I say, we need to know his will. As we study the Bible, pray, God, show me. God, reveal your will to me. What should I do in this situation? What should be my decision in this situation? And as he shows you, as he reveals to you, you have to follow. Do not be led by fear or by pride. And you need to trust in the Lord. Remember the young couple I mentioned about? You need to trust in him, that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. We're singing a song here, say, great is your faithfulness, right? He's faithful forever. And all things work together for good. For them that love God. For them who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what disaster that comes into your life, the Lord can turn it to a great testimony. So trust in him. Trust in him. And lastly, James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Remain steadfast under temptation and trials. remain unshakable, remain unmovable when things are not going well. I want us to take some time to pray. And let's take some time to pray and ask God to help us. You have listened to this message. And think about the area in your life that you need a change. And take some time to pray and ask God to help us in our decisions and choices. Let us pray.